2011. And could we get a roll call, please? Director Guerrero?
Present.
President Angelo?
Here.
Director Lucy?
Here.
Okay, and flag salute, please, if one stand. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America.
Is that a motion? Do we need a second?
Second.
Yeah, it's a motion. For the board to vote for new officers, president and vice president, that will postpone. And Matt, you seconded it?
Director Lucy did.
I'm sorry, got him backwards. All right, and all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? None? Okay, let's go back. Okay, we have public comment. If anyone would like to get up and do public comment at this time, we have 3 minutes. Yeah.
I would add that Mr. Brad Schnuck come and address the board, please.
Good evening, board. My name is Brad Snook. I'm the volunteer coordinator and a resident of AG Surf Rider Foundation. Before Mr. Jim Hill resigned from the Oceano CSD, he used the word myopic to describe the leadership of our wastewater treatment plant. Myopic is a word sometimes used to describe short-sighted policies or an institution's inability to take a longer view on issues. As you know, Surf Rider Foundation has been asking your council to vote and support an independent investigation of potential malfeasances by our wastewater treatment plant's administrator, Wallace Group. We continue to ask for an investigation. We agree with Mr. Hill's assessment of the culture at our wastewater treatment plant, and the district's plan for peer review doesn't go far enough. The State Water Board's Office of Enforcement has documented a damaged, potentially toxic culture in their response to the former chief plant operator's appeal on their notice of violation. We wanted to make sure you had a copy, and we hope you'll take 10 to 15 minutes to review the information in this public document. As you read it later, I hope you remember some of the points we've already discussed. Since the plant has an ocean outfall, we literally swim in the results. The plant discharges between 2 to 3 million gallons a day through a 600-yard outfall pipe in Oceano. With Pismo's discharge, it gets up to about 5 million gallons. Used to dump a sample as requested by the chief plant operator, these violations may never have come to light. Positive cultures reward employees who take the longer view. The lab tech's behavior referenced in the notice of violation took the longer view, refusing to dump the sample. Myopic management is an appropriate description because she wasn't rewarded, and neither the chief plant operator or the plant administrator could protect our district from this damaging outcome. The plant administrator's conduct, however, was outside the scope of the Office of Enforcement's investigation. We are asking for this investigation to be initiated by the Sanitation District's Board of Directors because that's the way the process is supposed to work, and we need your help. The Sanitation District's revenue is about $300,000 a month, per the board's last package available on their website. Surely the funds can be found for a new, complete investigation. Our communities need a highly trained, third-party, independent investigation team with a scientific background and a sound understanding of finances for this investigation. Can I present a copy of the
yes,
NOVs
that's
for you?
Fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Jeff Edwards?
Okay. Raphael, can you make sure we get a copy of all those, please?
Good evening, Madam President, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. I had several items I wanted to touch on in public comment. First of all, I would like to underscore the comments of the previous speaker. I think it's important that the Sand District be reviewed for its operations in a number of areas. Ms. Angelo is the district delegate to the Sand District, and I would hope that she would carry out the work that Mr. Hill initiated. Secondly, I'd like to make a request. I don't see it posted outside, but I understand there is a Oceano Advisory Council meeting this coming Monday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, if I'm not mistaken, and I haven't seen an agenda yet, again, posted here. Perhaps if somebody has one, maybe they could make it available during the meeting. That would be helpful. And then lastly, I wanted to mention or extend some remarks I made at the last meeting of March 23rd in connection with possible organizational issues, basis to consider future, again, organizational questions, one being possibly a consolidation with the city of Grover Beach. And I think that's something that you might want to look at. I think it's certainly in contrast to a dissolution of the district would perhaps be more favorable. That's all I have for now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Joe Schnechter.
Good evening, Joe Schacher, proud resident of Oceano. I want to comment about some news, recent news about our district manager. It points out about how similar problems we're facing with the general manager. Same things, similar things occurred in previous employment at Kenosha County. The background check we didn't show up most of this. We hired District Santa Maria Attorney Kirk Consimas to run a background check. Even though dozens of Wisconsin newspaper articles provided details of his firing, only notes that that Mr. Montemuro had several personal financial problems, such as a foreclosure and three accounts in collection. His explanation was his woes were as a result because of unjust firing. But it's also been shown that he had financial difficulties before the firing. Similar things that we're talking about in the last few months, the reports from Kenosha says alleged mismanagement, failure to follow directions from superiors, and inform the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors of financial deficit surface. The shortfalls cost the county more than $3 million, documents show. He explained that the $3 million loss that the county suffered was the fault of the county executive. It goes on to say he's blaming it mostly on other people. He blames several county employees and the county executive for the budget snafu. I think we all know that when we do incompetent work, some of us might try to place the blame on others. Do we want to live with that? I'm not here to pass judgment on him, but I think a little more research could have been done into his past. I don't think we would have hired him. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Jeff Pinnack. Excuse me, Pinnack.
Okay, Jeff Pinek from Oceano and Chair of Surfrider in the county. You guys have seen me here before. I am grateful for the opportunity to be able to come and address the board because this is what open government should be about. And thank you. Unfortunately, you know, there are a lot of things going on in our district that have been going on for quite some time and continue to kind of go on. I'm sure everybody read the New Times article of last week or the week before, whichever it was, you know, and that there's an awful lot of funds missing. There's an awful lot of, quotes, mismanagement going on. I don't want to focus on those things because I understand that they exist and some of us here are not responsible for those things, and others of us who have been around the district may know some more than others. But I'm here really, excuse me, to focus on the Sand District and specifically the sewer and the ability of the sewer to actually deliver the goods. When I say deliver the goods, I mean that sewer is charged with being able to treat the effluent that comes from our community, in addition to the communities of Boyer, Rio Grande, and Grover Beach. And the sewer, the way it's currently configured, doesn't seem to be able to treat the amount of sewage that comes to it daily. And of course, when I say daily, that also encompasses weekends when there's a whole lot more people in this community for the dunes, et cetera, visiting, et cetera. We are coming to all the boards, which we have in the city council, city councils of Rio Grande and Grover Beach, because we really want we want that sewage plant to be able to deliver. It's state regulated, and of course the state is the one that determines how the sampling is done. And of course we are in the process of writing our letter to the State Regional Water Quality Control Board, requesting their change of policy with regards to internal sampling at all sewage plants, not only our sewage plant here in Oceano, but all sewage plants throughout the state of California. The current method of reporting, i.e., when I say reporting, the reporting means for that sanitation district and that sewer to meet standards, they are required to essentially meet a certain pollution standard of that sample. And the current method of testing is that district, that sewage plant, their internal folks collect the sample, test it, and report that it's okay. Well, we don't find that as being acceptable anymore. You know, that really is not... the culture of honesty, and Brad spoke about it in his comments as well. Quite frankly, I don't trust the employees and the management at the plant to report properly. I don't trust them to not doctor that sample, or not sample it at the right time, or sample it incorrectly, or simply dump the sample, dilute the sample, or whatever.
Can you wrap up, please?
I'll be wrapping up. Mr. Wallace sat over there at the Sand District the other day and said, "Well, we're currently sending our sampling out to the Abalone Labs to test." Well, the sample is still being collected by the plant employees. Now, whether they hand it to Abalone Labs or whether they sample it, do the testing themselves, or they give it to some other lab, makes no difference. They collected the sample. Unless somebody else independently can collect that sample with an honest and open chain of custody and take it to an independent lab, we still have no accountability at our sewer plant. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jolie Lucas.
Hello. I once again have happy news. My name is Jolie Lucas. I'm a resident here of Five Cities. How to make paper airplanes, how to become a pilot, how to read aviation charts. So we'll have a lunch where different an air traffic controller, a mechanic, and a professional pilot will be speaking to the girls. So I know that some outsiders from our community have called the airport obsolete, but I wanted to let you know that over 50 girls are coming. My second piece of news is that a new business opened at Oceano Airport last Saturday. It is Skydive Pismo Beach. So folks are going to be able to launch at 10,000 feet and 13,000 feet. They offer tandem dives, which is diving with an instructor. And they also offer solo dives to folks who meet the requirements. So it's wonderful to have a brand new business, lots of community support and publicity. And again, please remember fly-in movie night, which is April 30th. Everybody's welcome. Drive-in, walk-in, fly-in. And then May 14th is our celebration day. Again, it is a salute to veterans. It's something that's free of charge. We have our emergency responders coming, as well as, again, a live band and lots of free activities for the kids. So thank you for your continued support of the airport.
Thank you.
That concludes our public comment request forms.
Okay, thank you. Is there any board comment?
I'll defer to Director Lucy.
Okay, do you have anything? I have one question. Jolene Lucas, is that correct?
Yes.
On the skydiving, is that in Oceano or is that in Pismo?
It is based at Oceano Airport. It's a new business that opened on the airport.
Okay.
The title of the business is Skydive Pismo Beach. They're at skydivepismobeach.com. And again, they'll be launching and then diving over the beach and then landing at some 5 acres that are adjacent to the airport.
Oh, okay, thank you.
And it's a school as well where they teach you how to.
She mentioned a new business. I heard, I think most people know the Carambola Amigo has been closed for about 2.5 years. And
yeah.
There's a new barbecue that's opening up. They're remodeling it. So hopefully we'll see some more stimulus in the downtown area.
Okay.
I move that we accept the March 9th minutes.
I second that.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Now this is one. Passes 3-0. Okay, March 23rd.
Honorable Chairman?
Yes, I'm sorry.
I have a public request to speak on the March 23rd minutes.
Okay.
All right. Jeff Edwards?
Good evening, Jeff Edwards. I wanted to just make a couple comments on the draft minutes of March 23rd. And the first one was the administrative item 9A that had to do with the draft letter to the Board of Supervisors. And a couple thoughts there. One, it's unclear who spoke on that item and exactly what their comments were, nor really how the matter came to resolution. For example, this was in connection, if you recall, with underdeveloped areas of the community, the Highway 1 corridor, Pier Avenue, and the airport. And there were individuals that testified about the airport. And comments that I made, I think, are germane, is the fact that stormwater runoff from the airport has been causing drainage problems in the community. And in fact, induced a catastrophic failure at the sanitation district on December 19th. Ms. Lucas, in her comments, have alluded to the movie Fly-In on the 30th. Perhaps she could stop by the community drainage and flooding workshop earlier that day and learn about how the airport does create flooding problems in the neighborhood. Additionally, I'd like to reference the last item on the draft minutes, item number 15. This was a section. These were board member items to be scheduled for the next board agenda, which would be this evening's meeting is the next regular agenda. And I'd like to go over the list real quickly. There's about 5 or 6 items, and unfortunately, I don't see any of those items on this agenda, and I'm curious if they are going to come back or what really the disposition of those items are. The note is staff consults with district legal counsel, performance review of general manager. And again, I don't see that on this agenda, nor know anything about it. And then lastly, there was a letter that was circulated at that meeting from myself, and I was hoping to be here tonight to speak to that letter, but I don't see that on the agenda either. So perhaps the board could advise us when these items that were going to be on the next meeting agenda, when they might actually be on the meeting agenda. Thank you.
We're in the middle of reviewing, approving these minutes. A special meeting was held in the board and the community decided to prioritize things in the district while there are three board members. And so, no, you might not see all of these on the agenda, but we are prioritizing. And our first priority is to fill the seats of vacancies. Our second priority is to go through the finances. And we'll continue to do that until we have a full board. And at that time, the rest of the other items we brought back on. What I'd like to do is bring this back to approving these minutes. I move that we accept these minutes.
I'd second that.
Okay, all in favor? Aye. And anyone who carries 3-0, there's only three of us here. So those will carry over, and perhaps later down the road we'll get the rest of these things taken care of as they come about. Okay, April 3rd.
Honorable Chair, yes. I also have one public request to speak on item 5C. Julie Tacker?
5C?
Yes.
From the March 23rd minutes?
No.
No, it's on April 3rd.
5C. That's
oh, April I'm sorry. 3rd. It's on the back of this.
Hi.
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and I did attend the special emergency Sunday night, April 3rd meeting. And I just have to comment, Director Lucy just said something about setting priorities, and that wasn't on that agenda. That's not what happened at that meeting. And if you're setting priorities, you have two very qualified and elected board members. There was no discussion as to why they resigned, other than we accept their resignations. And I think your board needs to have that discussion in front of the community. Why did these qualified board members resign? There was no AGP video. There was no audio tape. When I questioned that at that meeting, your attorney said that minutes being taken was enough. Well, you have bylaws. You have bylaw number 5.4, and it says that your district secretary, and that is Mr. Montemuro and not his assistant, Mr. Montemuro is responsible for the minutes. In that bylaw, it says that he shall attempt to record the names and general place of residence of persons addressing the board, the title, the subject matter to which their remarks are related, and whether they spoke in opposition to such matter. The detail of those things are not in these minutes or the other minutes that you've just approved. There is a sentence that says there were 11 constituents that spoke during public comment. It doesn't say who they are, what items on the agenda they spoke to, or what the relevance of their comments were. And I think it reflects one more item to the long laundry list that is building against your general manager, and that you do need to prioritize, and that your general manager's review is what needs to come up first. And I think I said that, but there's no record of that at your April 3rd meeting. And there's no record that I was there. I spent my Sunday night here, and your minutes don't reflect it. So I think that that's a disservice to the public, and I think you need to really push that up. Not only are your citizens calling for that general manager's review, but the board members that resigned were calling for it, and it appears that even the local media is calling for it.
Do you have any discussion regarding the April 3rd minutes? Anything that you can
I think it's important that we list that.
Do you accept these as they are? Do you want to bring them back? What do you think? Accept them as they are?
I think we're pretty lucky on the meeting.
Okay. All right. Can I hear a motion?
Make a motion to approve the meeting or the minutes of April 3rd, 2011 meeting.
Second.
Okay, all in favor,
aye.
Say aye.
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 Okay, ayes have it. There's no noes, so it's been accepted. Okay, do we have Ken Conway? There you are. Some reports from you.
Folks, Ken Conway, South Station Commander for the Sheriff's Department. And I've got a couple of things for you tonight. First, I wanted to give you some patrol stats for the first quarter of the year here. These are calls for service here in Oceano that my station responds to. January, we had 305 calls for service. February, we were down to 268. Last month, we were at 337. And this month so far, as of this afternoon, 148 calls for service. Year to date, we're at 1,058. It's an interesting fact that Napomo, which I service also, is at 2,033, so it's double the work down there. A couple other things tonight. We're doing a directed patrol here in Oceano and in Napomo. I've got approximately 50 deputies, agents, and police officers from around the county, our department, gang task force, probation, parole, Tascadero State Hospital, Rio Grande PD, and code enforcement out. Working on 73 different targets tonight of outstanding persons who have warrants, probation violations, parolees, several drug houses, and gang members here in the South County. And they started out in Oceano tonight. Last report I had, we had five or more arrests right now so far. And that'll continue on until about 10 or 11 o'clock tonight. As you know, I do one of those about once a month to here in the South County, and we try and take care of certain problem areas that are giving us a lot of work. Another thing I've been working on with Supervisor Teixeira and Mark Adam, who's the owner of the card room down here, who's talking about relocating up onto the Mesa. We've had conversations with him about whether he's going to move or not, or if he's going to stay in the same building. We talked about that, and I've met with him a couple of times because we did his business license investigation for him, so he had questions from the department. So that's all I've got tonight. Any questions from you folks or anybody from the public?
I just have a quick question.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you only going after people who have been arrested and stuff like that before? Because I noticed that there's a lot of activity and, you know, like drugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we.
Know, and they seem to repeatedly get away with it, and, mm-hmm. and you're being called constantly, and it still continues on. So I wonder. How do people like...
The transient problem here in town, which is most of my business lately for the last few months, is transient crime. Daily calls of batteries down here at the recycling center in front of Central Market. We had one yesterday. Unfortunately, everyone has a right to bail and to be OR'd here in the county, and they get out as fast as I book them. So that's kind of a court thing. Unfortunately, it's a huge problem. You know, you've been here a long time. All of you have drugs in Oceano is killing us, gang problem. We try to address it the best we can, but unfortunately, it's back and forth and back and forth. And that's what we're doing tonight. You know, I try to, with these sweeps that we've talked about in the past, I try to send a message to calm everybody down for a week. And last time we did it, I came and talked to you folks. We arrested 21 people on a Wednesday night in one of our sweeps. And that's on a Wednesday night. If we'd done it on Friday or Saturday, who knows what we'd have done. And it was all for good crimes and good outstanding parolees and the people we're looking for tonight. There's some really good people that need to go to jail tonight.
Good luck.
Well, yeah, thank you very much.
And I appreciate that you guys have been putting pressure on the businesses not to sell alcohol to the...
Yeah, that's an issue. We have not so much here in town, Napomo, because it's growing and like that. And again, that's a different district and all that. But with the alcohol sales to minors, or we have a lot of problems with them, you know, doing the beer runs. And we have that here in town. They go in and snag the beer, and they're out the door they go. So it's hard.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, folks. Any questions from the public? Thank you. And we'll be on until 10 o'clock, so be careful going home.
We have designated drivers.
Oh, I bet you do.
Thank you.
We don't serve. We don't serve down here.
Yeah. Used to. I'm on story. Okay.
I did to hear down here.
Okay, next item is the cash disbursement. We recommended approval for bills as submitted. And do you have anything in particular that you'd like to discuss?
I have a couple of questions. And part of some of this, General Manager Montemuro, is that I just don't know who these people are. Paul Busker and Cecilia Lawton. It shows up on page 10.
There's three that wouldn't normally show up. The first one is Paul Burscher. The second one is Cecilia L-A-U-G-H-T-O-N. And the third one is, and the other cash disbursements are our normal bills as presented.
The only other one I had a question with, A-W-W-A on page 12. I just didn't know who that was. It's an office expense.
That AWWA?
AWA.
That's the American Water Association.
Oh, okay.
It's an association that we belong to, and they provide us everything from information about the chemicals in the wells to, you know, what's going on in the water all over the state. It's a state organization, and our district and most districts in the state are members. For that one that's in here for this evening, that's not the normal. Usually we only pay them an annual fee to be a member, but the one that's here this evening, they're preparing some information to publish, which we feel will be beneficial to the water yard, so we're signing up so that when it's all completed and in print form for this amount that we're paying, they will send us a copy of the documentation.
That's all my questions.
You were going to take a look at the benefits as they relate to other districts and stuff and do a comparison. Were you able to pull any of that together? Any samples?
Not.
Okay.
You know, not officially. We're working on it as part of the budget. Unofficially, it looks like, you know, in areas such as replacement for the safety gear that our employees wear, like the boots, training required to maintain certifications, fees for those, you know, we're behind our neighbors, in which they either contribute more towards the safety item or better allow the person to take the class during work hours, or, you know, pay the fee or things like that.
Right. I was talking more like, excuse me, like the state, excuse me, workman's comp. Are we getting the best rate for the amount?
Getting into it, and we have started the paperwork that I brought to the board earlier in the year for, there's a company that provides workers' comp just to special districts, and we're looking at that as well. And the reason we don't know versus last year is, last year at this time on the workers' comp, our fire department was part of it, so we had a lot more people, and, you know, it's all based on positions. Plus now, we cut staff as a result of budget cuts. So are we paying too much? We don't know, but we are looking into it. And if we can find a savings, we'll, whether it's with the same provider that we have presently, which is State Fund, or whether it's with this company that provides liability and workers' comp insurance only to special districts, we're looking at both.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a question on the workers' comp. Do they have a one stated rate for all your employees, or are they different for each category?
They're different for each category, Director Angela.
That's what I'm asking, because that's what I ran into, too.
And in a way, that's how they're set up, but for us, it makes it more challenging, mm-hmm. because we have such a total range of responsibilities and yet a minimum staff, mm-hmm. that, you know, sometimes even they themselves aren't sure if the person is in the correct category or if they're sharing, you know, two different categories. Because we only have six people total.
Yeah, I know that. I have two categories, and the one that's a mechanic category is less than personnel for administrative. And I'm with state funds, so I couldn't figure that one out, but I said, okay. Seems a little crazy.
It's backwards.
It is, yeah. Okay, did anyone have any other questions? Did you see anything else that...
I just had one more. On page, it's not page two because I'm too far into it. It's under AP payment register. Oh, page 13 of 21. There's a $39, and I'm rounding that out, $3,900 credit. Is that because this is in our annual budget as Chaparral? And so are those payments, and if they're payments, then take that CR away from there.
Those are payments.
That's showing that these are going to be paid, right? On this sheet is what
yes.
it's telling you.
Yes. That's why I said that $3,900, that's a bill that we received from AG for the wheeling.
Well, I assume they were bills, because nobody ever gets a credit from charter.
Right.
Just kidding. But I think that might trip people up in the future.
The reason it's like that is because there's two columns on the new system. So if you look directly to the left of that, there's the same figure without a credit to it.
Right.
So it's just showing that which check is credited to it and the check number. And the check numbers match.
And so the third column... The third column there is then outstanding.
Exactly.
And that
takes it to zero.
So it's zeroed out.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Can I have a motion for approval of the bills?
I move to accept the bills.
I second that.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Okay, it passes. 3-0. And let's see. Discussion for cash and investment report. And Raphael, that's
a sheet of paper that I've included in the packet, and it says 8B in the lower right-hand corner. Basically, what it is before I talked about C, I wanted to tell the board exactly where we were in B, because there's a lot of misinformation out there, and numerous times I've heard that, well, you know, we don't know where the money is, and, you know, we have a lot of expenses. Well, we have a lot of expenses is true, but that we don't know where the money is not true. And this document is for discussion. I gave a copy to the board members. We can give it to the public, whomever would like to see it. On Thursday afternoon, we start trying to finish up the agenda to get it out Friday at noon for the week. So by this time, by 4:30 on Thursday, the money that we had collected all day at the counter was also deposited. So this investment report shows that at that hour, we had $313,515.39 in our checking account. Okay? And it shows that at the same place where our checking account is at Rabobank, we have that investment, that government fund that the gentleman came and presented here to the board, and it pays a better rate than where we had our money in the past. We have $637,394.26 in there. Then they're listed by number. There's three CDs. One is worth $21,002.65. One was worth $27,210.91. And one was worth $22,083.63. So the total pooled cash, if you came in my office and I showed you last month's bank statement, because now I've gone to great lengths at the bank to show it all on one statement so it's real easy to see where the money is, that's what the figure that we would have, the $1,021,206.84. Then after that, it says cash in county treasury. That $546,039.56, that's the money that, for example, if someone goes to the county and pays their property tax and were to receive some of that money, what the county does is they don't give it to us. They put it in an account at the county treasurer's office on our behalf. And then as we need that money, we transfer it out of there. So, for example, this month in April, what I'm going to do is when we get the bill for example, the next quarter for the five cities fire protection, I'm going to see whatever that bill is. It's like 160 some thousand, and I'm going to make Thursday at 4:30. The district had a net $1,567,246.40 total, and all that money is either in the county in an account for us or at the bank, and it has the general manager's name on it as far as being able to access the account. It has the board members' names on it. And that's a snapshot of what we were worth on last Thursday. And I wanted to include that so that, one, the board would have a copy, and two, to show how nice it's listed. So any day now, for example, let's say that next week you want to stop by my office and say, well, Raphael, what's our net worth? I could bring up this computer program and seven of the eight figures will be perfect. One, there's room for variation, and that's the county one. The county one, I only know what's in there when the county sends me the statement, and they do that on a regular basis, and I keep those statements in a manila folder on my desk because I think that the board and the public needs to know exactly what the district's assets are, and this is it. So if anyone has a specific question, I'll gladly answer it. Otherwise, I'm glad to say that last Thursday, because last year at this time in April, I remember bringing some information to the board that wasn't as pleasant as far as how expenses were exceeding revenue, et cetera, et cetera. So I want to thank the board for their help, and I remember well that a board member said, just take 15% off the top and start there. And with her help, and we've done that, it's helped. So we've paid our bills up to April 1st, and we have $1.5 million so we can keep the district open for at least another year.
Do you have any questions, Matt?
I do.
Mr. Montemuro, I have a question on the first one, the pooled cash operating. Is that, is that a term of art? What's it pooled from? Where are those sources?
That's a relatively new term. So the first three that come to mind, and the ones that we use the most, is our general fund, and that's coded 01, our water fund, and that's coded 02, and our sewer fund, which is coded 03. So, for example, if you use that logic and you just glance at the bills that the board just approved, and it's good because they're all in good order, you'll see that some of those checks will say next to them whether it was 01 or 02 or 03. Well, under the pooled cash scenario, that's how it's kept tracked when they enter the number. So we don't have three separate checking accounts, one for the sewer fund, one for the water fund, and one for the general fund. But the money that services all three of those accounts is in this account that's called pooled cash operating.
Okay, but there, and then there's an internal accounting in the system where you know that if it's fund one, two, or three.
Obviously. Yes, sir. And also, if you look at last year, and this year will be the same, if you look at the budget itself, if you look at the budget itself and you go to like the budget summaries where it's easy to see where everything is listed, on the budget summary, last year budget summary page 16 was the final revenue. Across the top, it says general fund 01, and underneath that it shows, for example, the fire department and admin. Then it says 02, and under that it shows water fund. Then it says 03, sewer. 06, garbage.
Okay.
09, there's nothing in it, so this year it won't be on there. And then 10 is the sheriff's facility. So what that term pooled cash represents is that in that checking account, you have obligations to those funds, 0, 1, 2, and 3.
I think I understand.
For example, a picture's worth 10,000 words. I have it on my desk. The county, like where I just referenced on this report itself, that shows that we have $546,039.56 in our county account. I can show you the county account, and it shows the same thing in their system. It shows pool cash, and it shows of that money for us how much came from property taxes, how much came from weed abatement, how much came from...
I'm just going to speak in terms of grants. Sustain the grant for 90 days. You have to financially be able to support that program for 90 days. And in the case of a bond, right, my understanding is that there has to be 150%.
Our county uses 125%.
Okay, so 125% in reserve in the case that something happened to the payment or, you know, there was some way.
Your microphone's not on.
Yeah. I thought maybe I wasn't holding it right.
So we're good now.
So the county asks that we keep 125 in reserve for just in case the payments can't be made. Are we at 125% in our reserve at the county?
No.
And if the answer is no, how far are we behind?
I don't know the exact figure, but I know that we don't have 125%.
Okay. So what I would ask of you, right, is that we get a call into the county, ask them how much we do have reserve, how much we're short, and we start working towards getting there. Because that puts us in a very vulnerable position. Really.
I understand it. And the county also knows that we're short.
Oh, yes, they know.
We're hoping that with the new rate increase, we might be closer to, because what the county wants is...
They want the whole amount. So what I'm going to ask of you, sir, is that at the next meeting, right, you can come back to us and say, we're this much short.
Okay. I can call the county. They have the figure.
Thank you so much.
Any other questions, Mary?
No.
Okay. Matt?
No, those are all my questions. So
that's going to be an agenda item for next time then, Director Lucy?
Okay. Yeah, I would say
I think so.
Yeah, we'll put that on the agenda for next time. Okay. From that list here.
I have received for the new roof or new water main replacement. That's my question. Thanks.
Are we talking about next year's budget?
Not yet, Director Lucy, but soon. It's the next item on the agenda.
Actually, it's two down.
Okay.
Excuse me, two down.
Okay, we just... Okay, I guess we just want to receive and file.
Yes, that was a...
And so this year-to-date report that we're now getting out of the computer system, which I'm really glad to see a year-to-date, can we continue to mark these up and hand them back to you as to areas of
sure.
roughness?
We're going to... I'm going to speak on, like, this report... It's long overdue, but it's like the first time we've run it, so there are some, you know, things
yeah.
that, and I want to, you know, speak to some of those items. But yes, you can write on there whatever you like, and just give it to me, and I'll look into it.
Thanks.
So with that, if there's no more questions on 8B, we can talk about 8C, which is a discussion of the current this year's budget in a year-to-date actual. What I did was I sent out a 13-page report to the board, and I would like to just speak to some of the items first, and then it'll make a little more sense. And then if you have any specific questions when I finish, please ask. And that is, like, for example, if we look at page number 3 of 13, a third of the way down, it says under administration salaries and benefits, this is total salary and benefits under the current budget, it says $264,200. The third column over, it says year to date actual, how much we've spent including tonight's disbursements here, $211,669.96. And then the far column to the right says 80.12. At the top of the page, it says percent of year completed, which is 83.33. So what this shows is that to date, as far as the salary and the benefits, were like particular part of the budget, $660,456. And this is the service and the salary and the benefits and the fees for the fire department. And then in column 3, it says year-to-date actual, and it's $565,450.95. And then in the farthest column to the right, it says 85.62. Well, that shows that we're like 2 points over. And one can ask, well, how can we be 2 points over? Well, we're 2 points over because when we put together the budget the first time, we had anticipated the fire department going to the five cities on July 1st, and then they went on July 9th. So that's the 2% there. Then if we look at page 6 of 13, on page 6, this is the upper left-hand corner says, Fund 02, and this is important. This is our water fund. About three quarters of the way down the page, it says total charges for service under the current budget, they should be $1,994,470. Year to date actual, this is what we've collected, is $1,614,148.49. And if we go to the far right, it shows 80.93. So that means that we're like a point and a half short of collecting the anticipated water revenue that we expected to collect. And then somehow I have to find out, there's another three lines under that, because it also shows that we got another $213.56 of additional revenue, other income. So I don't honestly know where it came from, but it's revenue. We'll figure it out. So that takes us to the same thing, 80.91. So we're within 2 points of having collected all the revenue that we were expecting to collect for the water fund. And that's big, because in these type of analysis, if you talk to the number crunchers and stuff, they say that, you know, if it's less than 5% plus or minus, it's a pretty good guesstimate. If you don't have 208, it says delinquent fees, how much we've budgeted, how much we have, and it shows that, you know, some of the funds that we've billed for, we haven't received. But, you know, we're glad to show that that's less than 2%. And that's all we have on page 6. Then on page 8, we have expenses to the water fund. And we should always watch, you know, I like to watch the expenses more than the revenue, but it doesn't matter as long as you watch both. And this page, bottom line, shows the total expenses for the water fund to date. Under the current budget, we should have spent $1,917,436. Year to date, we've spent $1,398,717.04. And that puts us at 72.95, or about 10 points less. You know, I'd like to take a lot of credit for that, but I really can't. The water team is doing a great job. Plus, another reason we haven't expent all the money in the water fund is because we had a position there that was open for, you know, a few months, and now that's filled. But still, it's nice when total expenses come in less than you prepared for. Then on page 9 of 13, it's the same scenario, only that fund is used very little. So they're both on the same page. This is our fund 03 in the upper left-hand corner, or for layman's terms, our sewer fund. It shows revenue and it shows total expenses. The first three lines are the total revenue. The bottom three are the total expenses. The revenue that we were hoping to collect when we put the budget together is $668,462. Year to date, we've collected $583,696.51, or 87.32, which is the last figure in the right-hand column. And, you know, nothing's ever perfect, but what we would like is, we would like the last figure under revenue, $587.11, and that puts at 44.52. So the sewer fund, you know, is easier. It has less, you know, less surprises, or less, you know, things that come up for expenses. We can pretty much figure the billing. When the bills go out, we know how much, you know, the sewer part's going to be. So that's pretty good. Then on page 10 of 13, it shows on the sewer fund 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down under line item 03-432.15, which is the line item in the budget. These numbers to the left that I'm reading, like, it sounds like they're haphazard. We went to great lengths with the new team and the software people to make them so that when you put them next to the numbers in the budget, they're real easy to match up. Now, some places we had to add extra digits, or some places we had to hyphen them off. But for example, the 3215, the same way here, it shows the sanitation district in our budget, 3215 is the sanitation district as well, so they'll match up better as we move forward. And we budgeted $418,700 there, and year-to-date actual, we collected $416,634.49. So we've collected 99% of what we were hoping to, you know, collect for the sewer. And last but not least, on page 11 of 13, it shows same thing, the upper left-hand corner, 03, and it's a whole list of expenses, year-to-date actual, ranging from wages, salary, overtime, Medicare, the whole nine yards, professional services. And we budgeted for $827,850. That was the appropriations for the sewer. Year-to-date actual is new. The, you know, the expenses by category and stuff. It's a very good place to start. And considering a couple months ago we didn't have anything, now we have this. We're going to, you know, tweak it and fine-tune it. Like, for example, these bills that were paid this evening with the board's approval, okay, they're much more exactly by line item in these categories where they should be versus before we had the system. That's why, because someone can say, well, you know, why isn't it perfect? It isn't perfect because when we did the budget last year, we couldn't track and we didn't have this type of efficiency. So unless someone has a specific question, or as Director Lucy said, that's a very good, you know, circle something or write me a note and share it with me. The next time you see this report, it'll be more accurate.
Yeah. What I would ask is that it is really nice to see this report, first of all. It's one of the first reports I've been able to
figure out, long overdue.
And it's year to date. But I think the public needs to see the report.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so if we can make maybe some copies and put them in the front office or something like that. Because I think a lot of people do need to see this report.
It is on the website.
This whole entire report is on the website?
13 pages, just like the agenda.
Okay, great. Okay, good.
But we can, you know, we
and we
can give a copy
need to encourage
to
people
website.
To go there because this answers a lot of questions for a lot of people.
What we'll do is... What I'll do is, because then it'll be more helpful, the same way I walked the board through it, mine is all marked up. Tomorrow, I'll have the staff make some copies of mine, and this way I'll highlight the numbers so that
great.
If someone views the tape or whatever they want to follow through, they'll be able to see everything that I shared with the board this evening.
And I'll take mine to work tomorrow and make copies for people who...
And what I'll do is, I'll... make these copies and I'll highlight them just like we have them here so that they'll go right to the info. And that concludes my report on the year to date. Now, next.
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Sure.
Mr. Montemaro? What is, would it be your intention to do these reports quarterly or monthly or?
This year? As we move forward, at least quarterly, maybe, you know, every other month, I intend to share this with the board at least at the end of every quarter. Or, you know, per board request, we can do it more often. But
I also think it's very helpful to be able to see what's going on. And it'll give us an idea if we have, there's some fires that need to be put out or if there's problems or something. That
exactly. Now we have something to work off of.
Rather than finding out a year later that something went wrong, this, I think, is
I would be in favor of trying to do this on a monthly once we get everything worked out.
Okay, we can do it, you know.
Just so every month we know
we can
what
do
we're
it.
Doing.
The reason I had said, you know, I was going to do it quarterly is because, like I say, this still needs work because it goes back to a time that we didn't have the way of breaking out the checks directly to the fund. So some of the... but as you move forward, the more you use the system, the better it gets. With that, that concludes my report of our year to date. I was asked to put on the agenda that to discuss the annual budget, and that's next item 8D. I just wanted to ask the board two things, in, you know, besides whatever you want to tell me about the budget, we're working on it at great lengths. But the reason I picked these two is because there are two items that would fall under the public works. They're over $25,000. You know, we would have to get a minimum of three competitive bids. So I want to be sure that if the board wants me to attempt to include these two items in our budget, just share that with me this evening. This way, between now and when I finish the budget, I can get the three competitive bids and stuff and know what the exact figure is.
Yeah.
And the only two things that I would recommend, besides the normal stuff that needs to be done to keep the business, you know, open, obviously our job is to serve the residents and citizens of Oceano, so we have to keep the doors open. But what I would ask that we put in the budget are two things. One is this pretty pipe that I've shared with the board before. I don't want to be offensive. It's the same pipe. It's 810 feet long. We've done more research on it since it was up here last. Basically, this existing facility has been here for round numbers 30 years. And there hasn't been much done in the way of improvements or upgrades or maintenance to it in the last 30 years. So this winter, we got a rebuild. We put a new motor in the furnace. And, you know, it's just your regular use 30 years. You start looking at the furnace, the utilities, the roof. Well, our roof was presently leaking. The reason I say presently is it was just leaking. So I sent out to the board in the week at a glance. I had a gentleman come over here and put some tar on the roof. And we're hoping that, you know, that'll hold until the rain starts again. But I think the board should consider that we get the same scenario without being repetitious and offensive. It's obviously going to be way over $25,000. It would be a public works project, so we would have to get three competitive bids. And then I would include that figure in the budget. And that's to roof this entire building. Now, presently, we saw it leaking. And because it was leaking on the north wall in the fire bay, and we saw the water running through the wall, and then it came out on the floor. So that's what prompted us to, I got an email from Captain Bova that there was a leak in the roof, and right away I tried to call somebody. At that time it was raining, it was hard to get, but a person came and said, went up there and looked at it and says, you don't want to repair the roof. The roof needs replacing. I says, no. I says, I have to repair the roof. I says, I don't have the authority to approve, you know, replacing the roof. I says, so I need you to fix the roof. And then if you would like to submit a bid, I told him, I says, we're going to have a competitive bid process if the board decides to put the money in the budget, and we're going to roof the whole building. Then he proceeded to share with me where it's going to leak next. And he showed me, so I know, you know, where to watch, where the water's coming in, and he assessed that from the day. I wanted the board's direction. If the board feels strongly that we should do these two items, then right away I'll send out the bids. We'll go from there, and I won't have to look any farther as to anything else regardless of what we would like to do, because there won't be any money there. Then the challenge will be to bring the deficit to the board, and we'll do that through the proper channels and the finance committee, and we'll review the budget numerous times and stuff. But I assure you, I've been working on the budget a long time, and I've done the numbers numerous ways. And there won't be enough money given what we have and given the max that we could bring in, even if we were successful to collect the full rate increase for the entire year. The new rate increase, which we won't collect till the first billing will be in June, so that won't be till, you know, next fiscal year anyway, that the board approved is 8.5%. Well, you know, people have done studies, and it shows that when you raise a normal good, the economics of it is, at a higher price, quantity demand, it goes down. So people will conserve, and we can't, you know, under good budget or under good conscience, plug in the whole 8.5% increase, because we'll never get it. But still, we won't be able to have enough money. I expect the water main bids to come in somewhere between $250,000 to $300,000+. I don't know what the roof bills will be. I mean estimates, but we'll see. And either way, we're talking between $300,000 and $350,000 of, for lack of a better term, needed capital projects that we won't have the money for. And that concludes my report on the upcoming budget. But I would like direction, you know, should I get the two bids? Should we consider, it's my recommendation that we do both the main and the roof. And that's all I have, unless someone has a specific question.
I don't have any questions, but
next budget together. Besides, obviously, you know, cut, I know that.
One of my questions is, as I had the opportunity to meet with the chief a couple of weeks ago, and he mentioned that some of our funds are earmarked specifically for fire department and service. Obviously, these bays are over the fire department aspect, and so I think that we could use some of those funds, which are specifically earmarked for that, for this purpose, and it may not be really general operating because it's fire department.
And that is true, Director Guerrero, but what the chief, you know, didn't share with you is that we're going to expect, we'll see, they're working on the budget as we speak for the JPA, that as a result of expenses, most of which would be the PERS, the retirement stuff, that we're going to have somewhere our share between 75 to a little over 100,000, I'm going to figure 90,000 additional cost for the maintenance of the fire department. So those funds that are the ones that are sitting in the county, for example, that are earmarked for the fire department, I need to put those towards paying the quarterly payments for the JPA first. Mm-hmm. And then the roof after. But yes, okay. We can use some of those funds for the roof.
So I guess one of the questions we'll have, though, is how much those payments are going to be for the JPA. I know that we're going to be getting into a payment on the fire truck, I think in January, and
yes, sir.
How much we have so we can figure out what to do with it, and we'll need your guidance on that as well. But it's just a thought. To me, I think it's important to get the bids on the water main and the roof. I think they're both important projects.
Definitely.
I'm not trying to minimize their importance. I would just like to have a goal setting process, and this this is not how you set goals. And this is, I kind of feel like it's almost like the meter syndrome going through it again. Like last year, those meters were bought on the trucks and shipped in before anybody knew what was happening, and that was an agenda. You know, and still, I have not yet seen a piece of paper that says the meters that were there were wasting any water. But that's water under the bridge. Those are your two priorities. But up the back door, and the water goes flying through.
So what happens to those priorities, those things before you came on? They got lost in the shuffle. They should have been on the main on what's that short little street that's got all the curbs, gutters, and sidewalks? North Swing, you know. Okay, they need a water main, but that is one of the more developed streets in this town. So how much of a priority really is it? What I'm trying to say is that there needs to be, before you run out and get bids for a roof, right, I think the water ripping through somebody's house is a little bit more important than running around the office putting buckets, you know. It's been going on for 10, 15 years. We've tried to get these people funding. We've got them funded through the block grant, and mysteriously the money was redirected. So there has to be a goal-setting process. It shouldn't be like, you know, I'm going to get my stuff in first. Let's go back and look at what the goals were when we did do a process, which has been now 2 years. You know, the codification is something that's extremely important. If you don't have any rules, who's going to follow the darn things? You know, and they're scattered. That was a priority. Administratively, you know, we're still working on that. But there are areas of town that really do need attention, this pipeline being one of them. But trust me, that's not the only pipeline like that in town. This one may be drawing more attention because it's been dug up so many times, but there's a lot of pipes. I mean, when I pulled my pipe out of the street, which I and Phil did, right, there wasn't any pipe to have a hole in it. You know, the water had just made its own pipe. You know, so, and the sewer lines, you know. We have shattered, you know, clay infested, tree infested sewer lines all through this town. So I understand that these two things are very important to and have been brought to your attention, but there's also other things too that have been sitting on the back burner for a really long time, to the point where, you know, it's wrong.
They want me to consider while I'm working on. Plus, if the board doesn't want me to pursue, you know, these two or one of these two, share that with me and I won't. These were just two things that I thought, well, if they're important, and I believe they're important, then I can't put them in the budget and be in violation of the $25,000 the public works thing. So that's why I put them on. This was like my start of the wish list. It wasn't, you know, the wish list. So okay.
Can we pull out the old wish list?
I think that's a good idea.
I do have it in storage. It's only 2 years old.
If you know where it is, I'd appreciate it. Otherwise, I'd have to start looking for it. I haven't seen the wish list. Well, this was my two, and then I had brought a legal pad, and I thought the board will tell me what they want in the budget, and we'll go from there. Yeah. This wasn't an attempt to...
I'll find the
all
wish list.
And share it with me, or, you know, send it in or email it, or I'll pick it up or whatever. And then, you know, we'll go from there. But I just knew that these were two of, you know, the wish list that would require the bids and the public works issue. Otherwise, you know, on the wish list, we've got, like I said earlier, the safety boots, the licensing fees. We've got a lot of stuff on the wish list. But those are things that we don't need to get competitive bids for. We just have to decide through the process and through the procedure as to whether or not we're going to include them.
I'll take you over to the house where the water goes through it, too.
Okay, well, do you want to take a break?
Sure.
At this point?
Yeah, great.
We're going to take about a 10-minute break. Is that enough?
Yeah, it's 8:13. Come back 8:23.
Yes.
All right. Great. Thank you. Thank you.
To the meeting.
In that order. Only one.
Okay, on the items that we just discussed, C and D, do we just want to, what do we call it? Receive?
I think we just reversed like everybody else, and so I think we need to address all of those and put it on the table.
You're right. We did it with flip sheets. We met on a Saturday. It was posted. We had easels put up, and we prioritized them.
I think that we should probably do that after we have two more members.
Oh, most definitely. But that might be a way to do it.
But start working it. Start getting it ready.
Yeah. Okay. I'll get the wish list.
Okay. So now we can go on to item 8E, resolution for declaring vegetation to be a nuisance.
I would ask that the board please look on your desk. There's a new and improved, and the reason I say improved is our lawyer helped write this resolution to make it more legally correct. So I would read the resolution, and we're recommending approval. It's just an annual process. The resolution reads, Oceano Community Service District, resolution number 2011-04, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Service District declaring vegetation on certain properties to be a public nuisance. Whereas Oceano Community Service District is empowered to provide fire protection services as detailed in California State Health and Safety Code Section 14880, and whereas the Five Cities Fire Authority of the Oceano Community Service District has determined that uncontrolled growth of vegetation within the district represents a fire hazard. And whereas the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Service District has found the vegetation on these properties to be a seasonal reoccurring nuisance under the California State Health and Safety Code, Section 14900.5. Now, therefore, be it resolved, determined, and ordered by the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Service District, San Luis Obispo County, California, as follows. 1. Weeds, parents as defined in Health and Safety Code Section 14875, growing upon any street, sidewalk, or on private property within the boundaries and jurisdiction of the Oceano Community Service District, are declared to be a seasonal and reoccurring nuisance. 2. The Five Cities Fire Authority of the Oceano Community Service District, and the paperwork in the agenda. If there's any specific question, the fire chief is here, but I would just recommend it's an annual improvement to the community that the board approve. Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions? Or
I just have two questions.
Yes.
What about the foreclosures? Who cuts those down? And because they're getting really out of hand.
Usually, I would think that the bank that owns them does that. That's what I would.
So the notice will be sent to the bank that owns the property?
I don't know how you do that.
I think it's posted, but some. Not all, but some foreclosures, they have property
managers.
Management companies, yeah, that come by and do mow the lawns and that sort of stuff. Some. I know that they're not great, but there is some cleanup that happens with this.
Right. Not in our neighborhood, though. So I don't know if the fire department's thought about the numerous foreclosures, but the weeds are quite high in a lot of those. And then also, too, is that sometimes a lot of the large eucalyptus are cut down during this time. And why is that? Are those considered weeds, or are they? I know they're not considered weeds, but are they in some way hazardous?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay. Okay, well, I'll ask that one later. We just need an answer on the foreclosures, but I'm in support of the bad weeds.
We'll look into the foreclosure piece.
Mr. Heath, do you have any ideas about the foreclosure stuff? I hadn't even thought about that.
Good evening.
Evening.
Rick Heath, Town Chief, Applied Cities Fire Authority. I believe what will happen regarding the foreclosures is that whoever the property owner was for that foreclosure, the weed abatement will go towards their tax roll. And then whoever purchases that property down the road, when they do the research, they'll find that whatever they pay for that foreclosure, they'll also be obligated to pay for that weed abatement.
Okay. I had no idea how that would work.
The city of Grover Beach, I believe they removed those because they were hazardous. Every time it flooded or rained, some of those trees would fall down onto the roadway. But for weed abatement purposes, if we come to an area that might have some oak trees or something of that nature that just needs to be limbed up from the ladder fuels going from the ground up to the crown of the tree, we might limb those up just to clean it.
And then you clean up the debris too as well, right? Because a lot of times, you know, when the creeks start to flood, you can see those logs rolling down the creek, and they're freshly cut, you know, and they're really dangerous to our waterways, what's left of them. And so that's why I ask you about these logs. Do you pick up the debris? Because it ultimately ends in the creek, or it ends out in the Povey Pond and blocking up the... You know what happens.
Well, if we, you know, the whole purpose behind the abatement process is to remove any fuels.
Okay.
That could be a hazard or a nuisance.
And you guys will supervise that, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, are there any other questions?
I move that we accept a resolution 2011-04 for weed abatement under the guidance of the Five Cities Fire Authority.
I'd second that.
Okay. All in favor for this?
Aye.
It needs to be a roll call vote.
Pardon me?
On a resolution, it needs to be a roll call vote.
Oh, it does? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. All right. Can we get a roll call vote?
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
President Angelo?
Yes. Utility items. A will be a will serve letter for.
Oh, one. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
On this for the signature line under 8E, it says yes. President. I don't. Since that was taken off of the discussion under 8A, I don't know how we do that.
That's true.
It's a ticky tacky point. But.
On the resolution.
What we'll do is for her signature, we'll prepare one tomorrow that says Vice President.
Okay.
Okay.
That's fine.
Thanks, Matt. I didn't even think of that. Okay, will serve letter.
Required, so we didn't prepare it, but when the constituent spoke with the county and stuff, the county said that one was required, so we're not bringing any new sewer or water there. But we are providing the will serve letter so that he can get the permit that the county says he needs.
Looking at this will serve letter, since it's on Strand and I live down in that area, I was calculating how far. I think it has to be within 500 feet that I can't participate. Is that correct?
Yes, the distance is 500 feet, but I don't know if it's 500 feet from your residence to this address.
I think it's more than that. because it's my street's parallel with Strand.
Okay. Yeah, and what's your street address?
1630.
So if
yes.
It's...
1712. You vote 1612
from the address. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I wrote too. 1712?
Yes.
So I think I'm fine. I just wanted to make sure before.
We could map question.
No, I asked what her street address was. She
we
said
did
16.
Send Rocky out down there.
To pace it out, yeah. Okay. Okay.
And the recommendation, do you have a recommendation?
Well, our recommendation, my recommendation is to approve.
And it's already a two-story, right?
Pardon?
It's already a two-story house.
It's already a two-story house?
Yeah. You're just adding up.
The scope of the project, we're just taking a bathroom downstairs and putting it upstairs. So there's, I know.
With your gym
and
workout.
I'll be here tonight.
That's okay.
You must be Mr. McGuire.
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm Chris Henderson on the contract.
Oh, I knew you looked familiar. You're down there all the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Next before you is a fee letter, and this was before the board previously, and then it was brought to our attention that from when it started to when it was approved, that it had been approved at the meeting in December, and then someone from the audience raised the issue that there hadn't been an increase in the state water project part of it. So now it's before you again. The will serve letter is for APN number 062096032. It's an OCSD project number 6258. It's a single family residence for the Christie family. And the way the fee letter is before you this evening, the total is $12,418.52 for the total fees. The last time the board saw it, the figure was $12,162. What has changed is the third line down from where it says water connection charges. The meter's the same size. The front footage fee is obviously it's the same as it was last time. But the state water charge has gone to $3,806.52, whereas the previous letter was based on last year's cost for the state water of $3,550. So we're recommending approval as presented at the $12,418.52.
You know what? I didn't bring it with me. What's the address on this property? That's
The address on the property.
I became concerned about it now when Director Angelo mentioned that she might be within 500 feet. And I don't know where this property is, so I want to make sure I'm not in conflict.
It's on 22nd Street.
Shit.
And
is it 22nd Beach?
Yes, it's on 22nd.
Is it the old Wampler project? Or
no,
is it the...
The present owner's name is John G. Christie. But who had it before, I don't know. But that's where it is. It's on the corner of...
It's on the corner in this house.
I don't know that I did it right, but I ran the multipliers and came up with $3,948. And I can show you how I did the math, because I think you spend more time with the calculator than I do. And if you want to look at it, you could correct me if I'm wrong. Do you mind that? There appeared to be a multiplier on it, which started in 1984, 13.5 times 6, 95 went to 14.5 times 6, and you added this on. And it didn't really give a formula, but if I extrapolated it out, we came to 30.5 times 6 times this amount, which came up to $3,948, which is about $142 more than that. And I don't know. That's just the number I came up with, but I'm not sure that I have the right formula. So,
we figured it at... See, this was... Wait, let's see what last year's was.
I've got 37.65, so I have a different amount from last year.
But last year, it was at
35.50,
right. Which is here.
Which is pretty close to my 2009.
Which is pretty close to the 2009. Well, we can, you know, check it again and bring it back.
I just don't know. I was raised by a constituent, and so I did the math and came up with a different number. That's why I wrote it all down. If you want to hold on to that, and maybe my numbers don't.
Well, what I'll do is we'll hold on to it. We'll check it. We'll bring it back. And the same way that we're showing now the 12162, we'll show the 12412, and then it'll be.
How do you calculate that?
How we calculate it is we have like a sheet.
Yeah.
And based on the size of the meter and the sheet, and when the state water rate goes up in January. And that's how we come up with the figure.
But is it the state water project?
Well, the state water project.
Is it based on front footage fee? Front footage?
No, the
is
front
it
footage
based
fee,
on.
The front footage fee.
No, not that. I understand what front footage fee is. I'm just saying.
How do you calculate
the state water?
Is it by foot?
By the size of the meter.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, okay. It was a concern that was raised to me. I punched the numbers.
I understand.
I'm concerned. Well, I'm not trying to slow Mr. Chris.
Our numbers, and we're going to check Director Guerrero's numbers, and whichever ones we feel to be correct and accurate, we'll bring it back.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. Down to report of district representatives. Looks like I'm first, huh? Okay, I unfortunately did not make it to the RAC meeting. I did go to the sanitation meeting. It was interesting. It's the first one I've been to in a while, and they were pretty nice to me. They didn't throw me out, so I thought I did well. And there was quite a few items on the agenda to talk about. We did go through and it came up. They had individual items for California Special Districts. They were looking for someone that would be interested in sitting on that board. It's a board that takes some time, and you do have to go up to the Sacramento area a couple of times a year and meet with the other various areas that are also participating in. LAFCO, we recommended that Ed Eby be recommended for the LAFCO district seat. And there was an update for the statewide storms FEMA issues. And some of that was kind of confusing for me, but I figured out that basically FEMA, you have to turn in your claims, and they're going to do a partial different items on there. And I didn't have a complete breakdown on that, so I don't know how much that was. There was also an update on the district's fats and oils and grease program, and let me find it here. Oceano and I guess I should be looking at this at the same time. Okay, the City of Aurora Grandy's program, they have 47 identified possible facilities that would qualify under that, and they were 98% in compliance with the fats and oil grease program. Oceano was 100% compliance. Issue going on with that. And what else did we discuss? There was some repairs for the different items with the influent pump reconditioning, electrical upgrade on that, which was $6,200, which was approved. The new centrifuge payment number 5 was due and for changes, and that one was passed through as approval. Update on the pre-treatment program, budget reallocation was received and filed. The APCD testing, cogeneration exhaust emissions was an estimate on approval for the exhaust emissions was approved in the amount of $2,433.38. The chlorinating mixing water champ repair also was approved for parts in repair. That one was $5,927.74. And then we also are going to be purchasing a sole source purchase for a 4700 series ISCO sampler, and that is going to be $5,491. And that's about it. We did buy some tote containment items as well for $2,640.91. And these all seem to be related to some of the damage and repairs that are ongoing at the sanitation district. So they were all approved by the board. And basically, that was the biggest things that were done. They have a project list that they're working on, and hopefully things are going to get better down there and everything fixed and up to par. So it looks good. It was interesting. Had a lot of discussion on a variety of things and discussion on things that I had questions on as well. So I felt welcomed and am encouraged about the board sitting there. And that is the only thing I have to report. Mary?
Zone 118 didn't meet since the last meeting, but what I'd like to do is take this opportunity to announce there is a large strategic planning meeting for so there's a special budget meeting for Zone 3. Which I'm not going to be able to attend, is on the 23rd. I won't be available till the last 2 weeks in April, unfortunately. I'm having a family issue. But it's better it happened in April than in May. So, but I do have, put a call into the county and am getting a review of what the budget issues are, and then I'll be up to speed and be able to give a full, complete report, the pros and the cons. I'm a little baffled on how the county came to the conclusion of that amount less on their budget than last year's, and so they are going to take the time and explain it to us and how they came to that conclusion. Planning and works has been really very, very, very helpful. And that's all I have to report. Zone 118, Zone 3 will meet in May, and I'll be in the audience, happy to take
minutes.
You're having
a budget meeting, Zone 3 is?
Yes, Zone 3 is having a special budget meeting on the 23rd, and I have that packet at my office. And if somebody is available, that would be absolutely wonderful.
It's the Saturday, the 23rd?
No. Saturday is the 27th.
It's Wednesday, right?
No, that's the 22nd is Friday. 23rd is Saturday.
Okay. Let me double check on that time, cause, I mean that date, because I was pretty clear it was the 23rd, but I'll double check. But I do know that the April 30th meeting is a Saturday.
Yes.
At 9. So, can't imagine a special budget meeting on a Saturday. So, let me double check. I'll get that to Raphael, and you'll disperse it to the other board members?
Yes.
Thank you.
That seems appropriate.
I could have swore it was the 23rd. I'll double check.
I haven't had any meetings since our last meeting, except for an informal meeting with the fire chief. And there is the next meeting is on the 22nd. That's Friday the 22nd, next week. I believe it's at 3.
Information packages, whatever term you prefer, to the Moss Levy in Santa Maria on Main Street because they had 1 year left on their contract, and they're going to do the 08-09 audit for us. I shared with, after we dropped it off, then I called to make sure, and I shared with the auditor that Director Hill is no longer here because he was like the liaison between the board and the audit and the staff, and I gave them Director Angelo's name and phone number so that if it's a question that, you know, perhaps they don't want to ask the staff, they might want to ask the board. The gentleman who might be calling, his name is Ryan Cornell, and I met him once. He's the gentleman that did the last audit that we approved since I've been here in January of 10. So he's familiar with our system, and he knows what to look for, and all that stuff is in his capable hands. Now, we are presently working on getting the rest of the information to Glenn Burdett for the 9-10 audit. Now, with our new computer system, that'll be easier because half of the stuff that'll be required for the 9-10 audit happened under my watch. So even though we didn't have the system at that time, I'm very well aware of, you know, what transpired. And with that, we can extract. It's easier to get information out of our new system than it was to get it out of the old one. And that, you know, concludes my update on the audit. The update on the computer equipment is, the computer equipment is 100, I repeat, 100% complete. The consultants are gone. It's up. It's running. It's a pleasure. You know, the, without being offensive, the 13 pages that I shared with the board earlier was created on that, and you just couldn't get there on the old one. The same thing with the cash balances. As a matter of fact, this week was as soon as we could do it because of the payroll situation, but we've done the 941 forms on the new system. Now, you know, normally we wouldn't do them till later this month, but one, we wanted to make sure it worked, and two, we wanted to have plenty of time to check them because everything that we've done with this system from start to finish, the finish of the system was when we sent out the bills from in-house here, like, you know, those of you that are residents that have recently received your water bill, well, that bill was actually created right here in this office. And that was the last piece. And after that, the consultant went back, and now we have a series of numbers. They have online support, so if we have a question, we just, you know, either call an 800 number or email them or whatever, and they just answer it for us. The 941 forms are due at the end of the month. Under the old system, we would have to program and get the information on the screen, and it would come up in these like yellow dots on a green background. It was a mess. And then we had to put that information on a form and type it. And now what happens is we ask it for the figures, and it brings them on the screen. And then it has a, when you're happy with the figures, it has a form that it brings up. And then you transpose the figures onto the form so there's less chance of error. Then you add your tax ID number to the form because the form is actually in the software, and it's nice because then they make the updates when the rates change and stuff, so you don't have to second guess. And then you put your tax ID number on and print it. So now we did that this week, and we're going to, tomorrow and the next day, we're going to check it twice to make sure that we're comfortable with the figures, and then it'll go out later this week. So I can't say enough good things about the new computer equipment. That takes us to the update on the water meters. The update on the water meters is, as of yesterday morning, we put in 1 4-inch meter, and that was a commercial business. We've put in 4 2-inch, 7 inch and a half meters. Like I shared with the board in the last couple of weeks on the inch and a half, typically an inch and a half meter will service an apartment building, like, you know, 4 units, 6 units, whatever. We've put in 9 1-inch meters. We've put in 3 3-quarter-inch meters, and what they refer to as the single family or your normal meter, which is 5/8. We've put in 29 of those. So the total as of yesterday, we have 53 new meters in. Now, one might argue, well, gee, that doesn't sound like a lot of meters. Well, everything is relevant, and it's a lot harder to put in a meter in an apartment building that has 6 or 7 apartments that you have to give, you know, 48 hours notice and coordinate turning on the water and this and that. But we wanted to do those first because that gives us a greater ability to more accurately record and sell more water. The single family ones are much easier. You know, you knock on the door, and if someone comes to the door, you get permission to turn the water off for a short period of time. And if they say no, you can just, you know, do something else. And if there's nobody home, which is often the case on a single family residences because they're working, then it's not a problem. You can just change it. So we approached the project with getting all the large meters in first, and that part of it is complete. And as we move forward, the only thing we're going to be putting in now is, well, we've got 29 in already, the single family. You know, that number will just keep changing because there are no more 4-inch or 2-inch or inch and a half or industrial meters. And that concludes our update on the water meters. And that takes me to, I had the pleasure of going to a RAC meeting.
Thank you.
On April 6th, and
yes,
I was very, I repeat, very well received. On the agenda, they had numerous items. Some were extremely interesting to us and some weren't, but the agenda consisted of the rainfall and reservoir updates. I found interesting. Some of the reservoirs are at 70-some percent, the highest they've been, you know, in a long time. The Paso Robles has just completed, not, I repeat, there will not be, because it won't happen between now and June 30th, and June 30th is the end of the water year. So there will be no state, quote, declared emergency, and, you know, certain naysayers that thought that we were going to lose out on a bunch of emergency water, well, it's not going to happen. That's not going to take place. There was an update on, they're working on the ordinance for the biosolids, and that was about it. And if I, you know, need to go again, I will. It was very nice. And they commented that for the first time in a long time, they adjourned the meeting on time. So that led me to believe that there was a sense of harmony and, you know, camaraderie that hasn't happened in the last short period of time. And that concludes my report on the RAC meeting.
Thanks.
Okay. And we have public comment. Kathy?
I'm not sure, what are our rules for presenting testimony? Is that the same as public comment, or is that something different? It's on the second page, the back page, the first page.
Yeah, we're all kind of like, huh?
Oh, I think it's the same thing, because where it's put, I think that it's the same as public comment testimony.
Yeah.
Because at the last meeting, Director Guerrero
asked the general manager not to put that like that anymore?
No, no, we changed it.
That's why, yeah.
It says, must observe the following rules. When beginning to speak, first identify yourself and place of residence.
The change was, this is requested.
The change was the requested part.
Because before it said required.
Yeah. But we changed
it. It says requested for public record. Not required.
Well, I said must observe, so I didn't.
Oh, well, I wasn't asked to change that part, but we did change the part that reads, this is requested.
Well, it's kind of confusing when it says they must observe the following rules, and then says this is requested. Rules. I mean, maybe it should, I mean, I would think it should say, instead of saying must observe the following rules, you might put a request there and then maybe state this is not a must or a requirement.
Well,
I mean, I think a lot of people don't realize that. They don't realize they don't have to fill out a form. They don't have
an additional change as well.
Can I email you? Because it's
running through
sure,
my mind.
Sure, sure, no problem.
So that's why I think we can rewrite it. Because some of these are, I think, a little stronger than requests as far as remarks addressed to the chair, conversations between the speaker and the audience.
Some of them are redundant as well, right. But you know, I was asked to add this piece to the agenda by a former director, so I was just
let me shoot you an email. I think
following orders.
Clean up the language.
And if you're going to do that, I would ask that you please put it side by side with item 3, because item 3 at one time read much more user-friendly, and it didn't have, like, for example, number 1 and 2. And if the spirit,
oh, I see.
Yeah, and if the spirit is to encourage public comment, which is what I would hope it would be, you know, if we're going to make some additions to the rules for public testimony, we should work on item 3 and, or if you like, I can present what we had before. Not too long ago, we had a different, Mary, you remember when, you know, public comments read different.
Mm-hmm.
And when we stopped using the rules for presenting testimony. So, you know, whatever the board's pleasure. I sent out in that week at a glance the article about the board had visited in the past. The public comments are to be encouraged, not discouraged.
Right. Yeah. I always use the term strongly encouraged to, and then whatever direction I give.
I've got some ideas, but let me
no problem.
Nail them down. Raphael can forward them around.
Okay, we have board items for the next board meeting agenda. Ms. Mary?
I would like to ask, as I stated, I have this family thing that's going on. We have an elderly family member who's spending the money away, so we have to take action quickly, and I don't mean to make it personal, but and so the family had the choice of either getting together at the end of April or the beginning of May, and May is really important here for how we wanted to conduct the May 11th meeting.
Okay.
So what do you think, Matt?
That's fine.
Okay. Has everyone seen the write-up for to fill the vacancy?
I did see that. Yeah. I saw a couple. Yeah. I thought I saw a couple drafts.
The latest, you know, ran in Sunday's paper. I have a copy here, and we have some at the counter.
Is that draft B?
If someone hasn't seen it, just let me know. You can take it with you this evening. We have presently received 3 indications of interest. They're in my office in a folder. Or, you know, for the benefit of the public, it's early. I can just take 2 minutes and read, you know, word for word what it says.
Okay.
Whatever the board's pleasure.
That's fine.
That's fine. I've read it, but we've got to get it out there.
I've read it.
All right.
Go ahead if you want to. That's fine. Yeah.
Oh. Whatever.
Well, so that way it's on TV.
Okay.
And maybe it'll stimulate somebody else.
Looking for a few good leaders. Oceano and unincorporated area of San Luis Obispo County is looking for a few good leaders to sit on the board of directors to provide leadership, vision, and a voice for the community of Oceano and Halcyon. The board is comprised of 5 elected seats with staggering terms. The board is charged with oversight of water, sewage, and other community projects. You must be a resident of Oceano/Halcyon. If you would like to learn more and lend your experience and energy to the area of Oceano and Halcyon, send a letter of interest to Oceano Community Service District, attention Rafael F. Montemuro, 1655 Front Street, Oceano, California, 93445. Due date for applications is Wednesday, May 4th, 5 p.m. Please feel free to go to the office for more information or call 805-481-6730. The board and community participants will conduct interviews of interested parties at the May 11th meeting. At that time, the board will make appointments. We strongly encourage you to talk to other community leaders, board, and staff members. Oceano.
I have it in Spanish.
Oh, okay. I hadn't seen it in Spanish yet, but.
It's always something. Sorry.
That's okay.
I even have it on email.
Do we have any other? Well, we're not going to have a meeting, I guess. We're going to postpone the next meeting.
Right.
And the
reason I had picked the in the article here, I didn't want to stop from reading it, but the reason it says Wednesday, May 4th at 5 p.m. was so that then Thursday, as we put the agenda together, I can send all the letters out so that the board will know who will be present at the meeting on the 11th. And the 4th was the last day that we could still get the information of the constituents to the directors in a timely fashion. That way the packet for the May 11th meeting will have a list of all the concerned citizens.
And let's just go through this again. Did we discuss like meeting an hour before the regular scheduled meeting with the candidates and the community and everybody just kind of getting together?
We had not discussed that.
Okay, maybe we should discuss how that the May 11th meeting is going to play out.
How have you done it in the past? Let me ask you that. Could you say that like you've done that before in the past? Is that something?
No.
Okay.
No, we've had candidates forums and stuff like that. In the past, it was broke. You know, in the times I've participated in it, and so I'm reluctant to go back to a broken system. But it was broke.
It was easy when it was me, because I was the only one. So there wasn't a lot of discussion.
That was an easy
yeah.
one.
But
you had your chance.
Yeah. I do like the idea of having some candidate discussion, maybe give the audience opportunity to take to ask questions, give people an opportunity to make any presentation that they'd like to make, and maybe the candidates might have questions of us, we'd have questions of them. But does that need to be an hour before, or can that just be during the meeting, as if we just dedicate the meeting towards that and maybe our warrants? I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that?
And we had talked about an open dialogue with the public and the board and the candidates. And in order for that to happen, the board would not be in session.
Oh, I see.
You know, in order for it to be an open format like that. So say we came, the meeting's at 6:30, say we came at 6.
Yeah.
And that way the public that's involved in talking to candidates and stuff, they can come. We're dealing with it right up front. The people, that way we can get the new members placed on the board. I mean, I was just trying to figure out how to the public and the board, you know, kind of kind of like neutral.
How would you do that?
Maybe make an open the boardroom without, and just allow just a commingling of the candidates.
And not go into session.
Come to our meeting at the start our meeting at the regular time and call it to order.
Okay, let me ask Molly how.
Don't accuse us of violating the Brown Act if we do that.
That's true.
Unless all of us weren't there.
Okay, so do you have any idea?
It's the purpose. So you can be here and kind of mingle, but the minute any of you said anything, you're opening yourselves up. You could just dedicate the meeting. And if you get more than three and there's a significant number of people, do a special meeting from 5 to 6:30. You know, if you need more time. And just dedicate the meeting to this issue. And open it up to the public a little more. And you guys are sitting there, you're interviewing them,
but taking comments from the public as well.
So we would start at 6:30 like we usually do, right?
If you could get it all done, yeah. If there's three.
Oh, hell, we've gone until 2 o'clock in the morning. It ain't nothing.
Okay, that's
good. <great. laughs> Careful there, Mary.
We've gone until 2 o'clock before. Okay, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, espresso beans.
Yeah, you could do it, and then just have, you know, no 3-minute limit. You just have question and answer. So if the public wants to ask any questions of the candidates, they can. Which I think that we had that option also last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did put like that on the agenda. Yeah, right. Yes, as long as it's properly agendized, you can do that. Right. Yeah.
Why don't we do? Well, we can start earlier, but I don't know if people are still going to be getting off work or you know that kind of thing.
Should
we just start at 6?
Let's just
start at 6:30 and
normally would. Yeah. Or do we just automatically? Well, we can't because.
Well, we could ask.
The first
them.
One would be for the 4-year thing. I don't know. Maybe they wouldn't.
You
want
could
to
be. We could ask. Them.
I mean, you could.
You want
do
the short seat or you want the long seat?
Yeah. You get it down to 2 and then draw straws.
Yeah.
Pick a number. You could do.
Okay. That's what I was going to suggest. From the amendment, I was going to say that the board should attempt to find the 2 candidates. And then after they've picked the 2 candidates, do some type of number drawing or take
a hat.
The first person pulled would be the, you know, designate which term, and the second person would be the other term.
Okay. That makes sense.
That's fine, thank you.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I need to apologize to the board. As I was giving my report, I was so intense in giving my report that I neglected that I received a slip for a public comment. So I would ask that the board let
Giselle. Can we hold this 1 second, the public comment, till we've just finished?
I thought you had concluded, and I was afraid that before they adjourned the meeting, I wanted to.
Okay, so we're going to start at 6:30. The candidate, we're going to open it up. We're going to do the flag salute, right? And then we're not going to do any minutes or any of that stuff. No.
Should just be for that particular purpose only.
Should we do what? Should we do disbursements? Cash disbursements?
No.
Nothing? Just straight?
The reason is because the intent is to fill the board seat as soon as possible. Then the seated member can also participate in the cash disbursements and the other few items that will be on the agenda.
But I thought the question was, do we have any of those items on the agenda or not?
Yes, we have to have the cash disbursements, and we can have the budget talks. But my recommendation to the board would be that the first order of business be the flag salute and to seat the new officers.
Okay.
And then after you seat the new officers...
The new members.
Then after you seat the new members, then you should have the election of the officers. And then you should do the rest of the business on the agenda.
Right.
That would be my suggestion. But we'll do
and
whatever you
the
like.
The rest of the business is the money, the budget.
Both audits. The disbursements and the budget. And you're going to...
And the list.
The wish list...
Right. Something that's already.
They can comment on anything they want, but you can't discuss it with them.
Right.
Okay.
You
just gotta give them the silly stuff. Okay.
And there's a lot of items that kind of haven't been carried forward. And I think that perhaps we could ask Carol Ann to just kind of hold on to those items and maybe the meeting after the 11th or maybe even into June if we need to, so we can hold on to these things. So I don't want to lose track of, you know, we had an idea and we never did anything with it.
Right, lose track of waiting.
But we've got so much on the plate now that it's just not going to happen next
week. Right, yeah.
No, we'll overwhelm ourselves, get crazy. Right. Minds, use drugs, jump off cliffs.
Right over there.
Too late.
Jump!
And okay, I think that's it for me.
Okay, and then Giselle wants to speak. Public comment.
One public comment request.
Okay.
This is more of a general comment because in trying to understand, kind of late after moving in Oceana for 10 years, trying to understand, you know, the money, how the money gets taken in and then spent by the district. My first lesson is to try and read the warrants or your bookkeeping that you attach to the agendas, the agenda packets. And then from there, if I want to see more particularized itemizations, for example, the litigation costs. We've got new contracts and new people over the last few months. So we've got a new attorney. I want to see the expenditures for our new attorney. And I would like to see them itemized also. And I know you can't itemize in the paperwork that you put with the agenda packets because it might be too long, but there should be some way that the public can actually see. Like if somebody's charging $3,000 for 2 weeks of work, somebody ought to be able to come in and say, I want to see exactly how that was spent. You know, what, for example...
the billings?
Yeah, billing. Like how much money went into subpoenas for the water litigation or depositions for water litigation or, you know, research or consultation, travel expenses, that kind of thing. Is there a way to do that? Because we've got a public case, and so any documents associated with the case should be public. If any subject matter deals with public litigation, it affects our water, the water that we're... you know, our portion of the water that's a part of that litigation, I want to know more about that. So why isn't that public? The only thing that I could see that wouldn't be public if we're negotiating with a specific individual where that individual buys or sells water or is allocated water from the Oceana watershed, and maybe that agreement hasn't been formalized, that might be confidential. But the name of the litigant is not. That should be a matter of public record. So I want to know more about the water, anything having to do with water litigation. Ms. Thurman might want to comment on that, and if something is closed, I would want to know why it's closed. Under what code would it be closed?
Only briefly comment that the documents, the litigation documents that are filed with the court are public records, and you can get them from the court. Oftentimes, they're actually on the internet, and you can download them. The Brown Act does provide for a closed session on litigation matters. And that's where we hold it.
What specific litigation matters? It seems like this is too general. It doesn't really inform the public. We're talking about a lawsuit that's over 10 years old.
It's an ongoing litigation, and so you can't have closed session on that.
But who are the litigants involved? You've got like 40 different parties at least.
And that's all public record. You can get that from the court.
But the thing that's not in the... in the packet is, you know, who are the parties that you're having a closed session about? Which specific parties?
You can't disclose that, I don't think. I don't think you can disclose the parties that are involved that you're discussing with on a litigation.
I believe that's required by the Ralph Brown Act. The names of the parties that you're having a closed session about, you don't have to say, hey, you know, we're at the point for the names of the litigants involved in your closed session. Which parties out of the dozens and dozens?
Okay, thank you. Okay, is there anything else? Mary?
Nope. Nothing for me.
Nothing? Okay, then we are adjourned.
You got to state the time.
Oh, at
9:28.
You guys aren't going to make a motion, it's just...
I have to make an emotion.
Oh, I move that we adjourn at 9:28.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. There we go.